Josh and Katie and the family are away. Should be coming back, I think, on Tuesday. And just wanted to let you know that I'll speak this morning, obviously, and then Danny will be speaking to us this evening in Josh's absence. And so I want to thank you for being here this morning. And I want you to think about one of the things that we'll be talking about. The lesson is entitled Time. And I want to go through, and I just want to thank Danny, because the class, if you were participating in that class this morning, there are things that he talked about, and you'll see and hopefully make connections as the sermon goes on. And then I'd also like to thank Danny for his words and his thoughts to remind us of that memorial. And so when we look at time, for me, I'm thinking we had a similar sermon I did last year, but some of the thoughts are different. We had it at the end of the year in 2024, but this year we're starting out 2026. And that's interesting to me is that Ecclesiastes, as Michael read this morning, is in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, he says, "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." And so we see that even God, even Solomon writing, he says, there's even a time for every purpose under heaven. And I never did look at this next verse like I did this time around, but it made me reflect on something a little bit differently, because Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2 says, is a time to be born and a time to die. And then all of a sudden I'm going like, does this have more of a deeper meaning for us than just our lives? You know, that we are born and that we die. But in Galatians chapter 4, Paul reminds, he says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And so all of a sudden I'm going like, a time to be born. And it says, "And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman." And then Hebrews, tenth chapter, verse 5, the writer says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me.'" And so that length of being born is now transferred all the way into this body that God set up for Jesus to take on. Hebrews 10th chapter, verse 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I had said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.'" And so we find that once again, that Jesus' purpose for coming in the flesh was to do God's will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we see God's love poured out for us through the giving of his Son. And Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 6, he says, "And for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." And so it made me think, a time to be born and a time to die. And Christ was sent forth to die for you and for me. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So time, when we look at time, we are in between time. We've been bound from time since the beginning of time, right? In Genesis, the first chapter in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Before the beginning, there was just eternity. But in the beginning, that's when time began. That's when time began for man and creation, and that's when time began for us. And then we'll be here until the end of time when Jesus comes again. And so as there was a beginning to time, there will also be an end to time. And that's when Jesus comes again. Paul writing to Corinthians in chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, he says, then comes the end. The end of what? The end of time. When he, Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father. God's got all that Christ is responsible for and overseeing. It's going to be returned to the Father. And he says, and when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he, Jesus, must rule until he puts all enemies under his feet. And when Jesus comes again, that will be the end of time as we know it. So when you look at it, there's certain quotes that always made me think is that time is the most valuable non-renewable commodity we have. It's priceless. People say you can't put a price on time, but it's the most valued part of our life. Time cannot be held, seen, touched, or breathed. Yet it has been allotted to all of us. Time can be spent, but not saved. We can spend our lives chasing after things, but time can be spent, but we can't save it. We hear this way, that time flies. And for those of us who are getting older, it seems like it flies. You know, and so when we get older, some of us are retired, it's like it flies, right? But sometimes we don't even remember what day it is. But those who are still working, they have to get up. They pay attention to a clock, and before you know it, the day is gone. They say, man, time flies. Time doesn't care about our plans. It's just there. It doesn't care about our plans. Time doesn't care if our projects get done. And there's so many of us have projects going on, we just say, well, we don't have enough time to do it, right? We cannot give our time to someone else to help them or extend their lives. Time, our time is our time. It's not given for anybody else. And when I see this stuff, it's like you want to help people, but you say, like, I can't give them my time or extend their lives. And one of the things that we see is that time doesn't care. Time is just there. And we know a lot of members here in this congregation that are dealing with health issues. And we can't, well, no matter what we do, we can't do anything to help them with respect to giving them more time. Time waits for no one. It's not going to wait for you. It's not going to wait for me. And time is the great equalizer. We all have the same number of seconds, minutes, hours in the day. We all have the same amount of time. We live based on time. So how did you use your time in 2025? We can all look back and we think that when we get to the end of the year, sometimes we look at 2026 and we say, man, I wish I would have done this and would have done that. But how did you use your time in 2025? Do you have regrets on how you used or didn't use your time? Did you waste your time? And sometimes we look at our lives and the day goes by and go, man, I wasted a lot of time. I didn't accomplish the things that I wanted to. I just wasted them. And did you let time just slip through your hands? Is that all of a sudden you look at the end of the day and it's gone? How did you waste your time? I think we can all look at our lives and we can account for how we waste things. We waste money. We waste time. And was it for a lack of focus? Sometimes people say you need to stay focused. You need to remain focused. But sometimes we lose time because we just lack focus. This is one of my biggest problems that I have from time to time, is that did procrastination play a primary role? A lot of times I'll procrastinate. I put off because I know that I have like tomorrow. And sometimes we have a project that's going to be going on, and so we know in our minds, some of us are going like, okay, I got a month, I got 3 weeks, I got 2 weeks, I got 1 week, I still have time. In my mind, I'm going to get it done. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and down to the last day. And all of a sudden, you're scurrying because you wasted your time. What could you have done differently? What could you have done differently with your time to be able to accomplish those tasks? 2025 is gone. It's history. It'll never come back again. 2026 is here. It's the fourth day into the new year, right? So here we are. We're starting off, and a lot of us have this clock that we set in our mind. Oh, it's a new year. So have you or me, have we determined that we need to make some positive changes in our lives to improve our spiritual life? And where do you start? And one of the things I'll give credit is like that Danny in our class that we talked to, one of the things that he says, look, just read over 1 Peter. Read the whole book. Read it as many times as you can. Some people have done better jobs than others reading it. But what is he saying? There's things that you want to make changes in your spiritual life. You want to improve. Well, how are you going to do that? Immerse yourself in God's Word. And one of the things is he has encouraged us to do is just to read. And maybe not just 1 Peter. Maybe just pick another book that you read that say, I'm going to read this every day or five times a week or three, whatever. But just get your life straight. So we need to start with God's Word. Let God's Word be the God. Don't let yourself be the God, but let God's Word be your God. It's interesting, as I was going through and preparing for this, is that the verb guide in Hebrew depicts purposeful, benevolent leadership. And so we find that with God. It emphasizes that the path, the pace, and the destination are all set by the Lord. One of the things that when Luke was going through his talk this morning, we talked about memorials. And we find that too, is like when God brought his people out of Egypt, he set the path. He determined the pace at which they would travel. And he knew what the destination was going to be. It was going to be that promised land. All those things were set by the Lord. It didn't make any difference what his children did. But all those things, the path, the pace, and the destination were all set by the Lord. And then it goes on to say is that the emphasis is not merely directional, but relational. He whom the Lord leads is accompanied, protected, and instructed. And that's one of the things that sometimes we've talked about in our class is that God has a covenantal relationship with us. And that's what it is. It's not just merely go that way or go this way, but it's because we have a relationship with him, because of our relationship through Christ. And he says, he who the Lord leads is accompanied, protected, and instructed by him. Psalm 119:105 says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Not only does God's word provide us with what's around us, so what we can see that's close to us, but it says that you're a light to my path. Your word is to see what my direction is, where I'm going. Our goal should be heaven. And unless we know how to get there, we're never going to make it. So God provides his word that we might be able to see what's close and what's far away. So if you're serious about making improvements in your spiritual life, this is something we all need to do. We need to set goals and establish priorities in order to help you and help me achieve them. We can set goals all we want, but unless we have a path to get there, we are never going to reach that goal. And therefore, priorities matter. Priorities matter for us to reach that goal. If we have a goal of getting to heaven, but we haven't set any priorities that help us get there, we're not going to make it. We always have time to put things we put for, let me, we always have time for the things we put first, right? We always have time. My time and the things that I want to do are more important than anybody else's, right? So whatever is important to us, that's what we put first. But really, it's all about setting goals and priorities and remaining focused. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to accomplish our task, it's always not about what we want. But if we put other things in what God wants us to do, we need to set goals, priorities, and we need to be focused. So the number one goal is the Lord. When you think about what Jesus said in Mark 12, 30, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, with every little piece of your being. We need to love God. And that's the number one goal for us, is that's what we need to do, is the need to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength. And sometimes this is the hardest thing, right? One of the things that we need to do is, number two goal is others. He went on to say in Matthew 22, 39, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we have a difficult time doing that sometimes, because if we're just introspective, looking at our own being, we kind of forget about those around about us. But Jesus said, look, your law is that you love your neighbor as yourself. That means putting others first. So part of our focus is that we need to focus on what God requires. And it was mentioned in class, and if I'm not mistaken, Danny, and also in the talk, is that God is going to test us. So we need to focus on what God's requirement of us is. Micah 6, verse 8, and he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you and of me but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? And so one of the things that we may have problems with all three of those, and we may have a struggle with one or more of those. But God's word reminds us. Remember we talked about his lamp, his light being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? And so God, through his word and through the writers of the New Testament, says, watch how you walk. Redeem your time wisely. Paul, writing to the Colossians in chapter 4 and verse 5, beginning, he says, walk in wisdom. Don't walk foolishly, but walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And once again, we only have so much time that allotted to us in our lives, but Paul says, look, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so walk in wisdom. We need to do that. We need to learn that. Stay focused. We talked about we have a goal, we set priorities, but then we remain unfocused. But God's word helps us to stay focused. So we need to stay focused. Our salvation, yours and mine, gets closer with each and every passing day. We're not getting younger, we're all getting older. And so our salvation is getting closer every single day. Paul, writing to the Romans in 13:11, he says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And so we need to wake up. We need to be observant to what's going on, and we need to know the time. He says, to awake out of sleep, for now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Every day we get closer to Jesus' return or closer to our own death, but we need to realize that our salvation, whether it's today or tomorrow or sometime in the future, is nearer than when we first believed. And we need to remain focused. He says, for your life is but a vapor. So stay focused. James, right in chapter 4, verse 14, beginning, he says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And instead of, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. We need to remain focused. We need to look at what God wants us to do. And that, the older I get, It is. Life is like a vapor. I have daughters that can remember years. I'm going like, that's not right. You know, we'll be looking at a picture. We'll say something. Oh, yeah, that happened in 2015. That happened in 2010. And I'm going like, how do you remember that stuff? I can't. For me, it's just like a vapor. But they tend to have it locked in their mind somehow or other. But our life is just a vapor in time. We need to live righteously, for every secret thing will be judged. And we need to remember that. That's what God wants us to do. You know, do justly, love mercy. And that's what we need to do, is to live righteously. For everything that nobody knows about me, there are things that people don't know about me, and there's things that people don't know about you, but God does. But we need to focus on living righteously. The Ecclesiastes writer, Solomon, says in chapter 12, he says, fear God and keep his commandments. There's some focus, right? There's some goals. There's some priorities. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. This is our responsibility, you and I. This is our all, is to fear him and to keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So things that we know about ourselves and nobody else knows, God knows. And they will be revealed. Live righteously. Why? Because your conduct matters. Your daily life. I think we talked about this in a class, that conversation is like conduct, right? Because your conduct, your conversation matters. Peter, as we were talking about in class, he says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. It's going to begin with us. There are going to be those who obey God, because nobody else will have an excuse. So be a blessing to others. God's word instructs us to do that. Romans, Paul said in Romans 12, verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. And we talked about this. There's some connections I was talking about with Danny's class this morning. When you look at it, here's one of these things. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. That's what Jesus did. He was a blessing to those who were cursing him. And we talked about it on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And so they had opportunities to be obedient to his word. And this is a problem that we have sometimes, is learn to what to hold on to and what to let go. And some people have told me, they've heard me say this, is that we as Americans, we just love stuff. We love stuff. And every time you turn around, they're building a new building. So is that an apartment? Or is that a store or business? What? Guess what it is? It's a used store place. For people to keep stuff. And some of us have houses full of stuff. Stuff we haven't touched or used in 20 years. Some of you are younger, maybe 10 years. But we need to know what to let go of. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Let go of what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hold on to what is good. And so we need to know what to get rid of. And then let empathy take over. This is one thing that we have a problem with sometimes, is that letting empathy take over. To put yourself into somebody else's shoes. It's different than sympathy, but empathy is being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Romans 12, Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so sometimes we have a problem doing that, because when something good happens to somebody, we might not be happy for them. We may say, well, they really didn't deserve that, right? And then sometimes you weep with those who weep, those who have struggled, those who have had come upon hardships. We have those, a number of us have lost loved ones this year, and some loved ones have been really, really close. We need to learn to weep with those who weep. We need to feel what they're feeling, because one of these days we may be feeling that same exact thing, and we'll want somebody to put their arm around us or be happy with us when something good happens. So put others first. Maybe that's the goal this year, is I need to learn to put others first ahead of me. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And that's the problem that we have with ourselves, if we're not careful, is that we do things through selfish ambition or conceit. We want it for us. We don't want anyone else to have it. But God's word, Paul writing to the Philippians, says, look, with lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And so we need to be able to elevate others and think about others and put others before us. So let us this year focus on trying to esteem others and be better. And to those who are against you, show love, do good, bless, and pray. And we talked about that again with Christ. When you see Christ, you see that emulating through him. How many of those people were against him? There were so many people that were against him. But we see that Luke says, Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. And so those are things that are hard when somebody comes out and is mean to you, or as we talked about in class this morning, we need to kind of flip that around. We need to love our enemies. Do good, bless, and pray for them. And then be aware of your surroundings. As we walk through this life, we have our goal and we set our priorities. We need to be aware of our surroundings. Paul writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, beginning verse 4, and he says, see that you walk circumspectly, so you know what's going on with you. Don't let anything fool you, because God's word is going to help you get through these things. So walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. And there it goes again. This time, we need to redeem it. We need to learn how to walk. And therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Because if we don't understand what the will of the Lord is, we will not be able to walk wisely. And then be careful how you repay. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't get back. I don't get even. I get back. You know, sometimes people do something back. Have you ever known somebody says, look, they're going to get it, because what they did to me, I'm going to get back at them tenfold. But we need to be careful how we repay. Romans 5:15, Paul says, look, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Don't repay evil for evil, but have regard for the good things. And then I appreciate Peter bringing this up earlier this past week, is that we need to be consistent and persistent in prayer. And that's one of the things that in this class that we've been talking about with Danny is like, when we look at scriptures, look at the things that are being said and let us look to pray better. And so we need to be prayer-sistent, that we need to be consistent and we need to be persistent in our prayers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Does that mean I'm praying like every minute of every day? Pray without ceasing. When I look, I say, like, don't cease praying. Don't stop praying. You know, Jesus said in Luke 18, he says, will the Son of Man truly find faith on the earth when he comes back? And so we can't give up. We need to continue to pray. Don't give up. Keep praying. And we need to learn to be patient and establish our hearts. Learn patience and establish your heart. And sometimes we have problems with patience. And I, for one, can tell you I'm not always as patient as I need to be. But James, right in James 5, he says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We need to be patient. We need to wait, because things aren't always going to happen on our time and on our timetable. So if you're waiting on God, do what Christ did. Learn to serve. If you're waiting for God, do what Christ did. Mark said, Jesus says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And so let us be like Jesus. Let us emulate him. Paul said, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I think we saw that reflected in Paul's life, is that what he saw in Christ and what he knew of Christ, that's what he did. And so Jesus said, look, for the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so we need to learn to serve each other. So as we begin this new year, 2026, let us use our time to do a couple things we talked about in the song that we sang. We talked about in the lessons, and there's connections that we're making. But as we begin this new year, let us use our time to build our faith. Let that be one of our focuses this year, is to build our own faith, that we might help others. And then to prove our love for God by walking as he wants us to walk. And then to strengthen our spiritual resolve that we may finish the race that is set before. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. We see that, and when we watch athletic events, these athletes, these people that run, they do all these other things, they didn't get there just one day saying, oh, well, I'm going to run a marathon, I'm going to do this or do that. He says, who competes is temperate in all things. He controls himself or herself. He knows what they're doing. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. And that's what we hope, and that's what we seek for, right? As our goal is to be in heaven with God and Jesus and the angels and all those who have been successful and gone before us, we want to seek for that imperishable crown. You cannot finish what you haven't started. So we all need to get started. And how do we do that? Paul writing in Romans 13, he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And so begin the race to get to heaven. That goal is that we need, first of all, to be able to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writing to the Galatians said, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's how we start our spiritual race in this life, is that we need to put on Christ in baptism. And then you can't finish if you drop out. You can't finish the race if you've dropped out. James 1 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. And we talked about this again in class. I keep going back to Danny's class, and I told him after class, I said, there's so many things that people, if they can just connect the points between what we talked about in our class and this lesson, we see those things. And you see them all throughout scriptures. But James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so we find that once again, we just need to endure the things that we face on a daily basis. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. I want you to just think about this. What does it mean? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? He doesn't change. But what it's telling us, he doesn't change, but we have to change. In order for us to be like him, we need to change. We need to change our thoughts, our actions, the things that we say. We need to change because he doesn't change. He's true. He's the same day in and day out. So what will your answer be? As we come to the end of this period of study and worship, what will your answer be? How are you going to respond to God on the day of judgment when Jesus returns? We need to think about those things. If there's changes in your life, if you need to put on Christ, or if you need to just understand more about what God's Word teaches, you know, and we can look at it together, because that's how, for example, I was taught. I had questions And the brother taught me the truth every time. I'd ask a question, he said, well, what does God's word say? So we'd go to the Bible and open it. And we'll be happy to do that with anybody that would like to do that. Maybe you don't understand, but you're wanting and willing to learn more. But what about those who are kind of like dropped out of the race? How are you going to get back into it? There's things that God wants you to do. He wants you to repent of your sins. If it's a private, make it between you and God. If it's between you and somebody else, correct that. But if it's public in nature, make a public confession and get that off your plate and begin the race again. So what will your answer be?